is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, you're tuned to station KUWS. It's Tuesday, November the 10th, 1942, 6 o'clock standard wartime. Time for the news with Lou Martin. The news is brought to you by Camel Cigarettes with that rich, full flavor. Camel Cigarettes, first in the service. Good evening, Lou.
And good evening, Jack. We'll hear tonight the community news from Harriet Farrig, and the story about a superior doctor who's in combat in New Guinea, one of the first from our fair city to be in combat since the fall of the Philippines. An inspiring story for you good listeners. Tonight's lead story is from the Pacific and the battle for Guadalcanal, now in its third month. Marines and Navy forces continue to slug it out with the Japanese in the United States' first offensive action in the Pacific theater. We have this shortwave radio broadcast delivered at great risk earlier today from somewhere on Guadalcanal by United Press Foreign Service reporter Daryl Berrigan.
The air hangs heavy in this jungle island group. I can see several ships massing today for what may be a naval battle of pivotal importance. Indeed, yesterday may have been the opening volley of a standoff that will decide whether one side or the other will be able to resupply its ground troops, with the other forced to withdraw. American forces on Guadalcanal were on the alert Monday for further operations by Japanese warships in the southern Solomons after two enemy ships, a light cruiser and destroyer, were hit and probably sunk in renewed air and sea engagements. Speedy American torpedo boats and long-ranging aircraft were credited with the newest victims by a Navy communique, which stated emphatically that the upper hand of land fighting on Guadalcanal still is held by U.S. Marines and Army troops. The enemy warships were the first reported in the Southern Solomons since Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox disclosed some 10 days ago that the Japanese fleet had retired and American forces had won this first round in the Solomons battle. Early Saturday morning, Solomons time, Navy torpedo boats surprised two enemy destroyers off Lunga Point to the westward of the strategic American-held Henderson Airdrome and were believed to have blasted one to the bottom. Later that afternoon, American airmen spotted an enemy surface unit of one cruiser and 10 destroyers some 150 miles north of Guadalcanal. Pressing home their attack in the face of Japanese planes that swarmed to protect the formation, the American planes badly damaged and possibly sunk the cruiser and badly damaged one of the escorting destroyers. The attack cost the Japanese 12 planes and the Americans 4. Reporting from the Solomon Islands at Guadalcanal for United Press Foreign Service, this is Daryl Berrigan.
Now the latest news from the United States forces invading French North Africa. On the third day of this offensive, Vichy France Chief of Staff Marshal Petain has pledged to fight U.S. troops for the glory of France. Petain has severed diplomatic relations with the United States even after President Roosevelt wired the French hero of World War I that the United States only intends on freeing the French people from the yoke of the Nazi rule. Mr. Roosevelt assured Marshal Petain that the United States seeks no territories for itself, and that France should cooperate with the American Expeditionary Forces. Already Algiers has been captured, and three American columns have entered Casablanca. A Vichy communique admitted the situation was grave. In Paris, news of the North African Allied campaign has led to anti-Vichy riots. Clashes are reported between demonstrators and police in the Nazi-occupied French capital. While Marshal Petain has ordered the arrest of U.S. diplomats in French Algeria and Morocco, Secretary of State Cordell Hull has ordered the passports of Vichy ambassadors in Washington revoked, and all French ships in U.S. ports should be taken into protective custody for the duration of the war. And this flash, just in from the Reuters news service, Vichy French Admiral Jean Darlon has apparently been captured, with AEF Commander Eisenhower meeting with him late today. At least one French diplomat is praising the American action in North Africa. Consul Francis Breyer called the weekend's invasion not an act of aggression, but rather the first step in liberating France. Breyer has been consul in Boston for 5 years, since 1937. Three war correspondents were wounded by mortar fire during the invasion. New York Times reporter Alexander Sedgwick, George Late of the International News Service, and independent reporter Audrey Hammond. American soldiers in North Africa have been given booklets warning them against any contact with Muslim women, lest they imperil the whole African campaign. The booklet instructs them not to say anything, even hello, or they risk insulting Muslim men. If an Arab asks a serviceman to his home, the women will be confined in a separate room. Any act interpreted as disrespect toward Muslim women could be met with righteous indignation by the host. The booklet also told Americans to act as ambassadors and not conquerors, and that traditionally we have been allies with the people of France. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Now we have a word from our sponsor, Camel Cigarettes.
In the Bomber Command, they say office for the bombardier's place, greenhouse for the plane's transparent nose, Roger for the okay and all right, and Camel for the Army man's favorite cigarette.
It's strictly Camels with me. That rich, full flavor always tastes great. And they're milder, always.
With men in the Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard, the favorite cigarette is Camel, based on actual sales records in post exchanges and canteens. Camel, first in the service.
Camel News Time is 6:07, Central Wartime. Tomorrow, Superior will celebrate Armistice Day of 1942 in a fitting way. For the first time, it will launch two ships in one day. Walter Butler Shipyards will christen the cargo ships Justin Doane's and the Tuffy Crosby. This will make a total of ships finished this month at three, with two more expected to be launched later in November. That's according to the Butler manager, H.V. Mason. A brief illness is fatal to a railroad pioneer in Superior, 68-year-old Clifton Wherrett, father of Superior State Teachers College athletic coach Ted Wherrett. He succumbed after a brief illness. Mr. Wherrett was the senior-most engineer on the Great Northern Railroad. He began with the Great Northern as a fireman in 1894, working on everything of trains like the old locomotive 500s to the modern diesel-powered passenger trains. He was active with the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers, number 290, and was engineer of the Superior to Twin Cities run at the time of his death. For the first time in many years, the Superior Community Fund Drive has gone over the top. Mr. Morgan Murphy of the Superior Evening Telegram is with us in our studio. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Lou. In spite of the war demands made upon one and all of us, it's reassuring that $25,550 has been raised this year. Credit has to go to Fund Drive Chairman David Siegel, but also I think a feeling that we have to do all we can for the less fortunate at home as well as our brave men overseas.
Were you worried that the people would have to choose between buying war bonds and giving to the community fund?
Yes, sir. But I think people want to take care of things at home, maybe saying that they want to get back to normal. After all, this bad war news this past year is a little simplistic, but people appreciate what we Americans have, and they want to keep it. And so much of this goes for our young people, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, Campfire Girls, the Salvation Army, St. Joseph Orphanage, and the children's home in the old Pattison Mansion. It's important for people to dig deep. And they did it by exceeding our goal by $1,000.
Well, you know, in a way, you could say that it's normal for people here to make sure that the local charities are taken care of.
Well, that's right, Lou. With all that's happening and going on in the world, people at least have some control on what happens here on the home front.
Well, congratulations, Morgan Murphy and Stephen Siegel of the Superior Community Fund Drive, raising $25,550, more than $1,000 above this year's goal. And finally, Jack, Superior Postmaster Bethel Robinson is advising people to mail their Christmas packages early this year. With interruptions from the war, short staffing at the post office, and all the extra packages to servicemen, Christmas mail will be a big challenge. Mr. Robinson says the U.S. government has dropped the minimum age of postal workers to 16 years old. In normal years, 50 extra clerks and carriers are hired locally.
Yes, and it's hard to pretend this year will be a normal Christmas, Lou. But a nice Christmas package for our men and women in the service, so far from home, will help.
Well, it sure will.
Thanks, Lou. That's KUWS radio newsman Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock news. Let's tell you about a chilly Wednesday night forecast for this November the 10th, 1942, from the United States Weather Bureau in Duluth. Clear and chilly tonight, with a low near zero, and a high tomorrow of 20 degrees. If anything's going to be normal, friends, it's that winter's coming. You can be sure of that. Now, on with the music, and here's Kay Kaiser and Who Wouldn't Love You on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you just winked your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care? You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you winked your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, my darling. Who wouldn't love you and who wouldn't care? Love you, who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care?
Hey, you gotta do it. You just gotta whistle to that one, folks. The enjoyable sound of Kate Kaiser and Who Wouldn't Love You, with, I think, Harry Babbitt on the vocal, on Station KUWS. Speaking of keeping things normal as best as possible, the Carpenters Union will hold a stag party tonight instead of Thursday night. It starts at 7:30 at the brand new Labor Temple. The firefighters will hold their annual Relief Association Ball tonight at the Superior State Teachers College gym. There will be two orchestras for your dancing pleasure. Ray Reed will play for the old-timers in the small gym, while Ray Test and his symphony of swing will perform in the new large gym for you swing addicts. Dancing is from 9 to 1 tonight, and it's just $1 per couple, and all men in uniform are admitted free. Sounds like a swell time, folks. Let's get you in the mood, shall we? This is Benny Goodman, Hooray and his orchestra, and Let's Dance on KUWS. That's from 1940, the Benny Goodman Orchestra, with Toots Mandello on the sax. Let's Dance on the Martin McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
People of Superior have always been proud of their sons in the service, and we have a real-life hero now in one of the first infantry units landed in enemy territory, in the South Pacific, at New Guinea.
I am Dr. C.H. Christensen with my brother, Dr. R.E. Christensen.
Yeah, we have an office out there in the East End.
Yeah, Old Town's Best Care. We're here to tell everyone about our nephew, Captain Herbert Christensen.
Captain Christensen is also a doctor.
Of course he is, Lou Martin.
Of course, of course. Dr. Herbie, we called him before he left in October of 40.
Wasn't he,
In the first group to leave Superior for the service, yeah. His buddies, Colonel G.J. Hathaway and Captain E.H. Leverus, were with him when the 126th Infantry National Guard shipped out at the train depot.
Yeah, off to war, little Herbie. To think of him in the jungle of New Guinea now. We just got a letter today, and Lou Martin, you're the best newsman around. So we thought we'd tell you all about it.
Well, fine.
He says conditions are generally good in New Guinea, but we've seen the war reports, yeah, and all that fighting as the Japs tried to take Port Moresby.
He says they're short of medical supplies. My goodness sakes alive, the conditions can't be that good. But you never know, do you?
How much?
He was a surgeon on our staff for almost 2 years before shipping out, sir, Lou Martin, and a blessed good one at that.
We can only ask everyone to pray for our boys in combat.
At least we know that they'll have good care with Herbert Christensen in the medical corps there. Thank you for sharing your story, gentlemen.
Yeah, we thank you. People must know we've engaged the enemy.
I just can't believe little Herbie in that jungle. Yeah. Well, good night, sir.
Good night, Dr. Christensen.
Good interview, Lou. Did you get in one complete sentence?
I wish they were all that easy. Best of luck to Captain Christensen.
Amen to that. Here's a dedication to Little Herbie in New Guinea. This is Harry James and his orchestra, That Soldier of Mine, on Station KUWS.
He's not so handsome, he's not very tall, and in the smart set, he's nothing at all. He was the first one to answer the call, that soldier of mine. Just a private, just one of the crowd. He's got that something that makes me so proud. He'll keep Old Glory as high as a cloud. That soldier of mine, I wish he knew how much I've been missing him. Single day we're apart, but I still have the memory of kissing him the day he marched away with my heart. Oh, there at the station, I tried not to cry. I kept on smiling while waving goodbye. Come back, my wonderful guy, that soldier of
Yes, folks, a dedication for Dr. Herbert Christensen of Superior with the Medical Corps in New Guinea, the 126th Infantry. And that was Helen Forrest singing That Soldier of Mine by Harry James, his orchestra and trumpet, on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Speaking of keeping things normal on the home front, here's our own community editor, Harriet Farrig. Good evening, madam.
And good evening to you, sir. You have such a flair, Lewis.
Yeah, flair. We are back to normal, now that Lewis and Harriet are making eyes at each other again.
Eyes?
Jack, Lewis can't help it if he has a certain panache.
Yes, Jack, I want you to know that I have a certain panache.
I like, I like... I hope it's curable, Lou.
Jack, for the life of me. Did you know the Itasca School PTA will hold a meeting this afternoon?
Well, you know, that's a good normal community activity.
Adolf Orsted with the City Fire Department was on hand to speak. He talked about incendiary bombs.
Ooh, not so normal there.
But Miss Clarissa Decker offered a solo musical number accompanied by Mrs. Lundgren. It was inspiring. The Franklin School PTA will give the students with 100% good health attendance awards at 3 o'clock Thursday. Students James Clark, Jerry Nelson, Joan Stork, Elsie Garrick, and Richard Klug will get the awards. And tonight, oh, this is so exciting, Louis, the American Association of University Women will hear Superior State Teacher College's Professor Franz Lund speak. His topic is China Today. It starts at 7:30, and Clough Gates will preside.
So you'll be going to that instead of the Firefighters Relief Fund Ball. Ray Tess and his Symphony of Swing is playing, you know.
We could probably go to both.
Yeah, Lou, a real double barrel of fun.
Well, very good then, Harriet. But it's the Association of University Women. You know, they might not want me around.
Oh, you'll be my guest. And I think they'd love to meet you.
Because, Lou, you have panache. Thank you, Harriet Farag, our community editor. On with the fine music now of Sammy Kaye and his orchestra. Get out those old records on Station KUWS.
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get your carnival, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound
Barney Google was scratchy,
the tunes
and the
really
songs about catchy,
and especially those that said I love you so.
Yuck-a-hula, hick-a-hula,
I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day.
On the
to get your carnival,
songs.
I'd bring my portable
song
to melt your heart away. With all those old
they were wonderful
records, those old
play them over
records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
Get out those old records
we used to play so long ago.
Get out those old
records we used to play so long ago.
Yebo, the swinging sounds of Sammy Kaye, and sounds like a lot of fun getting out those old records on Station KUWS.
Hey, Jack, why don't you join us for that China Today talk at the college?
Oh, sure. I hate to say it, but I've got some socks to wash, Lou. Or I'd be at Professor Lund's speech, that's for sure. But I'll meet you at the firefighters' ball, Lou. That's next to Old Main at the college gym, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see you there, then.
That's all the time we have here, good listeners. With a thought for Dr. Herbert Christensen and all of our boys in the service. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances provided, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.